Student from Glenrothes Free Baptist Church in Fife in Scotland, and we're going to ask him to come and give a personal word of testimony as to how the Lord saved him.
Well, thank you for having me here tonight, and it's a privilege to share my testimony about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. My name's Tommy Duffy, come from Scotland, a wee place called Fife, attend a Free Baptist Church there, but that wasn't always the case. When I was 24 years of old, I first got saved, and it was due to an auntie who had witnessed about the Lord Jesus Christ to me. We were brought up Roman Catholics. We weren't really practicing Catholics, and I've been aware since I've come here and given my testimony. People have said, it's great to see you saved out of Romanism. And really, we weren't the most devout Catholics, but thank the Lord he saved me out of sin. That's really what I've been saved out of. And that's what we all need, no matter what your religion or background is. If you haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ, it will do you no good whatsoever. You need him. So my testimony is to the Lord Jesus Christ, his saving grace. 24 years of age, Marty Agnes, just to make it very short and plain before you, she came up from a mission in England and she got converted. She heard about the Lord Jesus Christ's saving grace, what he did for her on the cross, and she came up and, being a loving auntie, she shared the gospel and she tried to witness to me. And she said, Tommy, you know, you need to trust in Jesus Christ and get saved. And she was adamant about this and she was really at me about it. And I knew she meant well, I knew she loved me. But you know, I was only 24 years old, my head was full of nonsense, and I thought I would have a bit of laugh with Auntie Agnes. And I didn't believe in UFOs or aliens or anything like that, but I thought I would take a stab in the dark. And as I said, well, wait a minute, Auntie Agnes, what about the book of Revelation in the Bible? Isn't it full of UFOs and aliens and stuff like that? And she was getting all flustered. She was just a new convert. She didn't know really know what the Bible said in a lot of places. So she couldn't answer me. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go back and I'll read the book of Revelation in the Bible. And so I did. And I stayed with my parents at that time. So went home. And over the course of a couple of weeks, because I gave up the search very early in the first night or two for UFOs, I read the book of Revelation through. And by the time I got to the end of that book, God had been speaking to my heart so powerfully about my own need to be converted. And I just saw in that book the sins of the world. I saw the remedy for sin. It was Christ. Even an angel was preaching the gospel in the book of Revelation to sinful mankind. And through that book, I could see this was what was in the newspapers. This was our situation in the world. And looking back, I know the Lord was just saying to me, Tommy, these problems of the world are your problems. You know, these sins in this book, Tommy, are your sins. The sinners here, condemned for their sin, they're you. And so I read the book of Revelation through, then I looked at the beginning of the book and I realised it was written by John the Apostle. So I read the Gospel of John, and then I read the three epistles of John. And somewhere in that time, over the space of a fortnight, I realised that I needed to make a decision, that the Lord Jesus Christ needed to be trusted, accepted. I needed to bow my knee to him and accept him as my Lord and my Saviour. And so I did, in my bedroom. And the night I was saved, I believe my brother was lying in the bed opposite, sleeping. And he had no idea that I was being born again. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks after that that I decided I was going to share my testimony with someone and reveal that I'd became a Christian. Because I didn't know that I could keep up this Christian life. I had no idea at the time about eternal security. I had no idea at the time that I could never be lost and it would be the Lord who'd be keeping me. And if I backslid or fell in any way, he would chastise me and bring me back into the way. I had no idea about all these doctrines. I knew that I'd been converted though. And I believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God incarnate. God incarnate. I believe that he was the Lord from heaven and he died for my sins. I'd like to read a wee bit of scripture just to sum up my testimony. And you look in the first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 1, and I just want to read from verse 26 through to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. And this is the testimony of every Christian, really. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And at verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I don't know about you, we could all have a measure of these things. But if we've not got Jesus Christ, it's like having a cup of water. The difference between like having a cup of water and having the well that the water comes from. Your cup will dry up. When you drink it, it's gone. When you have Jesus Christ, the source, when he is your wisdom, when he is your righteousness, when he is your sanctification, when he is your redemption, this is the one who died and rose again. This is the one who sits upon the right hand of the Father. This is the one who reigns forevermore. This is the one who is returning, who has conquered hell, Satan, death, and sin. When you have him, you have it all. And I would encourage you, brother and sister, if you're out of the way today, turn back to the Lord, because he is the fountain of all that's good. He's the perfect gift of the Father. He saved me, this is my testimony, a vile wretch, but my righteousness is him who sits in glory. And I just praise God for that. It's a miracle. Amen.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans, chapter 5. We're going to read the whole chapter together. Romans chapter 5, beginning at the verse 1. Let's read the word of God together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God bless his word.
Thank you, Robert. Now we come to the preaching of the word, and I'd like to call upon Mr. Ryan McKee, who's a second-year theological student from Macrofelt Free Presbyterian Church, to come and deliver the thoughts the Lord has laid upon his heart.
Could we please pray? Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the meeting which has taken place so far in thy presence. Lord, we thank thee for a sense of the presence of the Lord in this gathering. And we pray, O Lord, now as we come to the preaching of thy precious word, that, O Lord, you would undertake. Lord, you know my weakness, you know my need, but I thank you I come to the all-sufficient Saviour. Pray, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for thy power. I pray, O Lord, that in this gathering you would be pleased to speak to men and to women, to boys and to girls. Show them their need of salvation and draw them lovingly and tenderly unto thyself. Lord, encourage thy saints tonight. Lord, restore those who have fallen by the wayside. But above all things, may the Lord Jesus Christ be uplifted and glorified and honored in this place tonight. Therefore, we leave this meeting into thy hands. We ask, O Lord, you would cover us with the precious blood. Tabernacle with us, we pray. May each person here tonight know the voice of the Lord. May each heart here tonight be obedient to the word of God. These things we ask in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. The book of Romans in the New Testament has been described as the very purest gospel. Martin Luther said it can never be read or pondered too much, and the more it is dealt with, the more precious it becomes, the better it tastes. At the start of the New Testament, we have the four gospels, where we read about the works and the words and the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. That's followed by the book of Acts, where we read about the establishment of the New Testament church, about the new missionary cause and the endeavours of the early church and consequently the spread of the gospel throughout the world. And then we come to the book of Romans, where Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, details the significance of the Lord's life and the Lord's death and resurrection, as well as giving us the fundamental doctrines that we need in order to live a life that honours and glorifies the Lord. In this book, we have the fundamental doctrines that a church needs to follow in order to have a witness and a testimony that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. In this book, we have the gospel that we need to present to a world which is dying on their way to a Christless eternity. And if they ever want to be saved, they need to take this word and they need to believe it and apply it to their life. It's in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans that we have read from already that I want to draw your attention. And it's to verse number 6. This is our text for tonight. If you're saved, it's your testimony. If you're not saved in this gathering tonight, this is your only hope of salvation. Let's read it together. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I want to speak tonight on God's wonderful plan of salvation. And in this verse, three very simple thoughts, but I want you to come with me tonight. See what the Word of God has to say to you. I trust you prayed in your heart that the Lord would speak to you already. Let's come and consider this first. I want us to consider firstly the sinner. For when we were without strength. That is describing the sinner. Paul is obviously writing here to believers. He's telling them about their salvation, the truths behind it, the doctrine behind it. And he reminds them, in a time past, before they were saved, they were without strength. In other words, they were sinners. What does it mean to be a sinner? What exactly does that mean to you? What does it mean to me tonight? Well, each one of us are sinners. The Word of God says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." We were conceived in sin. And our mothers brought us forth into this world as sinners. You know, that does away with all the false theories that man is essentially good and develops sinfulness in his life just by the society he lives in. The Word of God tells us by our very birth we are sinners. Our nature is that of sinfulness. Our disposition is that of sinfulness. We have no thoughts toward God. We have no thoughts toward holiness. We have no desire for the things of God or of righteousness. Our desire is for self and for sin. And the Word of God makes that abundantly clear. And I can tell you at the start of this meeting tonight, if you are not in Christ, if you are not saved, if you have not come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, that is the condition you are found in tonight. You know, in this country we give many labels to many people. But the Word of God tells us that there are really only two labels we can put upon a person. You're either in your sin or you're in Christ. And I ask you at the start of this meeting tonight, where are you? Where are you found? Are you found still in your sin, or are you found in Christ? The cause for our sinfulness can be traced right back to the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Wonder if you've ever read Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and realized that the beauty and the holiness and the perfectness that God had created was destroyed whenever sin entered in Genesis chapter 3. You will notice that the tranquility of that picture which is painted for us in Genesis is blown apart by the entrance of sin into the world. Everything changed. Sin brought absolutely nothing but destruction. And I want you to tell you tonight, sin brings nothing but destruction. Brings nothing but destruction in life, and it brings nothing but destruction in death. And sin is serious because sin has consequences. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, that was not just a man of history we're reading about. He was our federal head. He was your representative, my representative. What he did affected the whole of mankind. And when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, you and I fell with him. And we're just as sinful that day as when Adam disobeyed the law of God. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, sin is serious because it brings consequences. Sin brings many consequences upon the soul of the sinner. Firstly, man is separated from God. Sin separates man from God. When sin entered the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had to leave. They were separated from the fellowship with God that they once knew. They once walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. No longer could they do that because they were sinners. Blood had to be shed. They had to be covered. And today sin separates you from God. You're born with your back towards this world, towards self, towards hell. And you're born with your back toward God. And you know, sin will not only separate you from God in life, but it will separate you from God in death. Sin excludes us from the kingdom of God. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. By your natural birth, you're excluded from it. You will not get to heaven in the state that you have been born. Unless you have your sins dealt with, you will not enter into heaven. You know, there's this theory going about, and the world promotes it, that, you know, the person will die and they'll go to their peace. Friend, you'll never be in peace in eternity unless you're in Christ. Your sin will take you to hell. Your sin will be judged. Your sin will condemn you to that place of suffering. Man separated from God, he's excluded from the kingdom of God, but he's also under the control of sin. Colossians 1:13 tells us that those who were saved used to be under the power of darkness. My friend, the sinner has absolutely no power over sin. He cannot gain the victory over sin in his own life. The sinner cannot be righteous in the eyes of God in his own strength. He has no time for holiness. He has no time for God. In fact, the word of God tells us that his very righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. We're so under control of sin, it pervades each part of us. Our thoughts, our actions, our speech, everything about us is sinful. But more than all these things, serious though they be, sin affects us because our sin is against a holy God. And each time you sin, you not only sin unto self, you not only sin unto those around you, but you sin against God. And a record is kept of that sin, and you must be punished for it. You see, sin does affect those around you. A child's sin will affect a parent. Many a parent has wept tears over a child who is wayward, who has gone to the things and the places of the world, who is bound and fettered in sin. Parents, your sin will affect your children. If they follow your footsteps as you walk through this life, where will you lead them? Will you lead them in the paths of righteousness, or will you lead them in the godly ways of the world? If they follow you, how will they fare? It affects your loved ones, usually those nearest and dearest to you, because sin brings selfishness, it brings pride, and it will ruin families, it will ruin homes, it will ruin lives. But above all things, it's against God. And that's the most serious thing, because you sin against a holy and a righteous God. In Hebrews chapter 9, and verse number 27, we read these words. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You are judged in your standing before God. The list of iniquities is recorded against your account, and you will face the judgment and wrath of a holy God. But in our text this evening, in Romans chapter 5, verse number 6, we read, when we were yet without strength. The sinner is described as someone who is without strength. Is that significant this evening? Yes, it is. Because you are without strength to do anything for your soul. To do anything to get rid of your sin, to appease the wrath of God. Those words, without strength, are one in the original. And it simply means those who are weakened and deprived of strength by disease. And surely you can see the application. It speaks of our inability to do anything for ourselves in order to erase our sin. In order to erase the account that is against us. In order to appease the wrath of a holy God against sin. Because we are sinful through and through. And sin weakens us. And I want you to realize tonight that you of yourself can do nothing to get rid of your sin. You of yourself can do nothing to stand before God and be at peace with God. No works will ever earn your salvation. No works will give you entry into heaven. No good deeds, no kindness, no righteousness that you may have, no money, no accolades on this earth will ever get you into heaven, because there's only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, tonight, the greatest need that any man, any woman, any boy or girl in this gathering has is the need to have their sins dealt with. The need to be made at peace with a holy God. I wonder if you ever consider tonight what it must be for one in their sin to go out into eternity. Their sin crying out for judgment. No hope to cling to. No foundation to stand on, to come before their Creator and hear the judgment of God. You see, one day we will stand before God. One day we will give an account of ourselves. You see, friend, man does not get away with sin. Man will stand before God, and man will be punished. I wonder tonight, do you realize the seriousness of such a condition? Do you realize if you're in your sin tonight, you face the full wrath and anger and penalty of sin? And you will receive it when you stand before God if you die in that condition. I wonder, do you realize that the sinner of whom the word of God speaks is you tonight? That sinner is me. It's not the person on the television who's outwardly sinful, who's outwardly wicked. Not the murderer, not the drug dealer. We're speaking about you tonight. You are the sinner, I am the sinner of whom the word of God still speaks. I wonder, are you still in your sin tonight? Can I ask you the question? If your soul should be required of you this night, where would you be? Where would you be in eternity? If you're in Christ, you can say it's well. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord. But friend, if you're not in Christ, it's hell. It's the punishment and the judgment of God. What then is to be done for the sinner? What then is to be done for the one who is without strength, who is incapable of doing anything for himself? Is there any hope? Is there any hope for me, a sinner? Praise God, there is. Praise God, we come tonight with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's our only hope. Let's read this verse again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time. And those words in due time bring us on to our second consideration tonight, and that's the sovereignty of God. Because before the foundation of this world, God wrought a plan of salvation. A plan to redeem lost, fallen, sinful men and bring them onto himself. And this plan was revealed part by part in Scripture. Prophets foretold what was going to happen about the Messiah who would come to set the captive free, who would save his people. The words here are in due time. And they speak to us of the proper time, the fixed time, the appointed time, the time that God had planned, the time that God had ordained, the time God ordained to send the Son into this world. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we have a similar verse. It reads, but when the fullness of time was come, in other words, at the exact moment God had planned, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, God was in full control whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was born in those strange and wonderful circumstances in Bethlehem. God was in full control when man plotted to capture and murder the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in full control when the Lord Jesus Christ hung and bled upon the cross of Calvary for your sin and for mine. You see, these were not incidental circumstances. These were the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. And what God says he will do, and it was done perfectly. You will find three times in John chapter 19 that it says that it might be fulfilled, which was written. And everything that God said would come to pass came to pass in the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are many in this world and they'll say, where is God at today? Where is God? God's exactly where he has always been. God is on his throne. God is sovereign. He is continuing to work out his purposes and his plans that he may be glorified. Believer, take encouragement today. God is sovereign. God's in control. He's on his throne. Whatever your circumstances have been this week, perhaps you've been going through the valley. Perhaps you've been going through a trial. You've known what it is to be afflicted with mourning. God's still in control. He has promised that he will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a Savior. Take courage tonight. He's in control. Christian worker, take courage tonight. God is still in the throne. You've been called to a work. And we're living in days when we see very little reaping of the harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. People seem to be growing harder and harder. It's more difficult to get people into churches. But Christian worker, take control. Because God is on the throne. Take encouragement. Because God is on the throne. You've been called to a work. Keep faithfully laboring for the Master. You see, the Christian can press on. The Sunday school teacher, the youth worker can continue pressing on with confidence because their confidence is in Christ. His purpose will be fulfilled. And his plans will be seen through. There's a beautiful verse in John chapter 6, verse 37. And it says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God's in control. And he will see that every one upon whom he set his love on is gathered in. And therefore it's for you, it's for me to go out and serve him while it is yet day. To be found faithful because he is in control. We're just to be faithful. He's sovereign. He's the one who saves. But you know, tonight we are found in God's purpose and in God's plan in this place. It's not by accident you're here tonight. I don't know why you're here or what purpose you thought you came here for, but I know you're here in the mercy and in the providence and the will of God. This is no accident. We're gathered here together and God has brought us to this place for this time. Perhaps tonight God has brought you to show you the seriousness of sin. Perhaps tonight God has brought you to open your eyes to the holiness of God. Perhaps God's brought you to this place for this time to show you that you need a Savior, that you can be saved. Praise God, tonight I can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read this verse again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This brings us to our third consideration, the Savior, the substitute for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you know it's only through his atoning work on the cross of Calvary that we can approach God, that we can be at peace with God. You know, there was a great price that had to be paid for salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ was our substitute. He came and he stood in our stead to do that which we were incapable of doing. Why? Because we were without strength. Because we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. But God came and took upon him flesh and stood in our room instead. You see, we could not live a perfect life. We could not fulfill the law of God. By our birth, that was automatically abolished. But he came and he took upon him flesh and he lived a perfect life. And he fully fulfilled the law of God. We could not hang upon a cross. And friend, if our blood was shed, it would be absolutely worthless. But he was worthy to go to Calvary and hang upon the tree. His blood was that incorruptible blood. And whenever it flowed from his body, it was shed for me. It was shed for those upon whom he has set his love upon. We could never take on our bodies the punishment for our sin from God the Father. We could never endure the wrath of God, but he came and stood in our stead as our substitute. And as he hung upon that cross, he knew what it was to have the judgment for the sins of the world poured upon his body. He suffered hell that we would not have to. And then he rose again from the dead, showing that the sacrifice was accepted. Praise God, he's alive today. And he's able to save those who come unto him in faith. You see, he was the only substitute that was able to take our place. He was the only sacrifice that was able to satisfy God. And praise his name, he was the only sacrifice that was needed. Whenever he hung upon the cross of Calvary, we hear the cry, it is finished. It's done. The price is fully paid. The price of sin has been met. The demands of God have been met. God has made a way for sinful man to approach himself. And you and I dare not try to add to God's salvation. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. I remember whenever I was 7 years old and lying in a hospital bed in the Mid-Ulster Hospital, that it was then that the Holy Spirit worked in my heart and brought me to a realization that I was the sinner of whom the Word of God spoke. He brought me to a realization that I was the one for whom Christ died. Brought me to the realization that if I died in my sin, I wasn't going to heaven to be with him. I was going to hell. And yet the Holy Spirit came and opened my eyes and showed me the truths of the gospel and drew me on to himself. That's what needs to happen in this meeting tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit will work. I pray he'll open your eyes tonight to see the seriousness of your sin. I pray the Holy Spirit will open your eyes tonight to show you that Christ had died for you. That there's a way back to God, the path of sin. Why did he go to Calvary? Why did he leave the splendors of heaven? Why did he come into this sin-cursed earth? Why did he leave all that was pure and holy and come and dwell among sinful men? Word of God answers that In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10, here's what it says: herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You see, you will notice in our text tonight it said, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And when He came to this earth to die, we were still in our sin. There was nothing lovely in it, upon it. There was nothing lovely in us. There was nothing in us that could have made Him come, because we merited it. We were nothing but depraved and sinful human beings. But yet the Word of God says He loved us because He loved us. And I praise the Lord tonight that He set His love upon a people. Praise the Lord, He set His love upon me, and He came to this earth to die. And it says He became propitiation for our sin. And through that work, the sin of a believer is covered. And the God who was offended at our sin is at peace with us. For whom did He die? He died for the sinner. Wonder, is there one in this meeting tonight? And you've known what it is to be saved, to walk with the Lord. You've known what it is to walk with Him and talk with Him and grow in grace. But tonight you're found in this meeting, far from the Lord. You're found in Bypath Meadow. The place of God does not thrill you anymore. The house of God is not something you look forward to. The place of prayer is empty in your life. The Bible is a closed book. Yes, you're saved, but you've no fellowship with God. You're far from Him. You're cold at heart. You know you're not useful in the service of the Master. Is there one in this meeting tonight? Christ died that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And His will is that you would live in the fullness of His death and His resurrection. And His desire is that you come again unto Him tonight. You know what the Word of God says? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there one who's been burdened by the weight of their sin? One who is walking in Bypath Meadow? I urge you, come back to the Lord tonight. Come back into that fellowship with God. David cried out in his backsliding, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Is there one tonight needs to be restored unto God? Praise God, He's faithful and just. And He'll restore you. But is there one here tonight who is still in their sin? Is there one who knows, as I speak, the sinner of whom I've described tonight from the Word of God? Well, it's me. I know I'm not ready to meet God. My soul should be required of me tonight. I know where I'd be. I fear standing before God in the day of judgment because my sins are not covered. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? The answer is very simple. You need to repent, turn from your sin, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord preached repentance while He was here upon earth. The apostles preached repentance. And it's not something that's preached very much today. But if you want to be saved, you must turn from your sin. You must turn from all those things that are against God in your thoughts, in your desires, in your actions. You must turn away from those and put your trust in the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That you must believe it's enough that He has died for you. Believe that His blood covers your sin. I would urge you tonight to consider the seriousness of sin. The solemnity of going out into eternity without Christ. The foolishness of leaving this place tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, there are many blinded by the sins of this world. C.H. Spurgeon said, "If I were to cry fire, fire in this place tonight, most of you would rush to the nearest exit. But when we tell you of what is infinitely worse, namely of the wrath to come and the anger of Almighty God, you are in no great alarm. Sinner, tonight I urge you and I beg you, don't be foolish. Don't presume upon God's grace. Don't presume upon another day. Don't presume upon another opportunity. Friend, don't leave here tonight thinking you can live your life and it will be overlooked at the end of the day and everything will be okay. You'll be welcomed into heaven. You live a life of sin, you will reap the harvest. You live this life without Christ, you will die without Him. But yet, the Lord Jesus Christ has said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And tonight the offer of the gospel goes out once again across this congregation. The Lord says, for whosoever. Is that you tonight? Do you feel the Spirit striving within? Do you know that tonight is the night you need to be made right with God? Do you know you have to have your sins dealt with tonight? Well, then the promise is, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And there's not one, but they've taken him at his word and found him faithful. And he is ready and he is willing. And he is able to save the sinner tonight. You may have come in that door tonight a sinner. You can leave a child of God. You may have come in that door tonight on your way to a lost eternity in hell facing the judgment and the wrath of God. You can leave tonight redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on your way to heaven and at peace with God. You know, this is a wonderful chapter in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. We have 12 different benefits of God's salvation. We have peace with God. We have access into His presence. We have a standing before Him. We have joy. We have glory and tribulation. We have the proof of God's love that Christ died. We know that we're going to be saved from the wrath to come. We know we're going to be saved by His life. We have a hope. We have the love of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We're able to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because Christ hath died for us. And what a wonderful thing it is tonight to be saved. What a wonderful thing it is tonight to know I am at peace with God. Is this your testimony tonight? Can you say, for when I was yet without strength in due time, Christ died for me. And I've taken him at his word and accepted him as my own and personal Savior. You know, the beautiful words of the hymn writer are these. If thou hast at my discharge procured and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Turn then my soul unto thy rest. The merits of thy great high priest have bought thy liberty. Trust in his efficacious blood, nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee. Is that your testimony tonight? Have you trusted in him? Have you trusted in his work? Where God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friend, are you saved? I urge you in the Lord's name, don't leave this place without getting right with God. Don't leave in your sin. Jesus is waiting. Come to him. Call upon him and trust him. And he's waiting to save you. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that for those who are in darkness, spiritual darkness, for those who are in sorrow, and for those who are in bondage, we thank you that there is hope. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope in the sacrifice of Calvary. Lord, we thank you that for those who are without strength, there is one who has lived that perfect life, that life that none of us could live, and has died that vicarious death. Lord, we pray for those who are out of Christ yet, even in this meeting, though possibly having sat under the faithful ministry of the gospel for a long time. Lord, we pray that you would deal with them. We pray that you would draw close to them. Lord, that you would open their eyes, that the eyes of their understanding would be opened, that the stony heart would be taken away. Lord, that they would be given that new will, a new heart. Lord, we pray that you would save them. Lord, do us good this evening. We pray that you would keep us safe as we would travel on. And we pray for your blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.